from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Is this like DCA? This like sounds like a cover band of AC/DC. This is like XYZZW.
This is weird. Yeah, I don't know why it sounds
is
like this.
Is AC/DC an acronym for something?
Yes, it is.
Is it really?
Yeah, look it up.
All killer, no filler.
No, look it up, man.
That's
look
actually
it up.
Sum 41. Welcome to my generation, Bob.
Thank you very much.
You're
welcome to my generation. A little AC/DC, right?
Are they your generation?
Isn't that what they call the plugs where you stick your cord?
Is your generation
cord?
The 70s? So they're not really. You're just more like Bon Jovi.
Yeah, but I mean, look at AC/DC. I bet you more of their stuff's in the 80s. Most of the stuff that I thought was in the 70s really was in the 80s. I mean, when you start to go back and look at, like, most of Metallica, that's the 80s.
Ugh.
For whatever reason, I always thought that was the 70s. They all start blending together after a while.
Highway to Hell, 1979.
79. See, it's the end of the 70s.
Shoot to Thrill, 1980.
This song came out in 1990?
Really?
Did it really?
Yeah.
So there you go. It always spills into the 90s too,
wow.
Right? With this music stuff.
It looks like their big year was 1980.
There you go. 1980.
1976, dirt cheap.
You think it's the 70s, and then all of a sudden you're looking at it's like they were playing in the 90s and
wow.
Still coming out with new stuff then? My God. Yeah, Metallica, Enter Sandman's from the 90s.
I'm going to say
really?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I knew
yes.
That.
That's weird.
Yeah, 1970, 1980.
So it spans three decades, like us, right?
Yeah, that's what this show is so far. It's three different decades.
That's
so
right. We got the guy
20s,
in his 20s,
30s, and 40s.
40s, yeah.
You got one guy that thinks he knows it all, Mac.
Yep.
And you got two other guys,
that know
chill.
They don't know
yeah.
it all.
Yeah.
And don't care if they ever do again.
Yeah.
That's the amazing thing, though. Like, when you're at Mac's age, when you're like 23, 24 years old, right?
Oh, I turned 26 this
year. 26 this year?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good for you. So when you're that age, like in your mid-20s, like you literally believe you know everything, right? You've got all the answers to the world. Then you hit your 30s and you realize that maybe I don't know anything. And then you hit your 40s like I am. You go, I don't know squat, man. And you learn something new every single day. It's amazing how, you know, they always say youth is wasted on the young. You know, that's the old saying that a lot of people say, because you're young and you're stupid and you don't know any better. And then when you get older, you want to be young and be able to do all those things that you know, you did when you were young, but now you're old and you got all the information. Like, wouldn't you be a better college student if you went back to college today at your age? I don't know, Mr. Dean's List at UCM over there, but I know Mr. F List over at KU. I'd be a much better student if I went to college today than when I was in college back in, you know, in the 90s, when
fair
I was
point.
In my 20s.
I mean, I was a non-traditional student. Like, I actually started going to UCM when I was 21.
Okay, so you're a little bit older,
so
a little
was,
bit more appreciative of what's
yeah,
going on, right?
But when I was first in college, it was like community college. I was like, this feels just like high school. The hell with this.
Yeah.
You know?
But because, like, when I went to college, you know, I went away, obviously, 1,093 miles, not that I was counting, And, you know, at first I was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, do the studies and all that kind of stuff. And then once I got to like day one, I realized, oh, it's all about getting to Friday and getting to the wheel and making sure that you have a $5 burger basket and a $5 pitcher of Coors Light. Priorities changed really fast when I was in college. It went from like, oh, I'm going to go out there and, you know, study and get some book learning done to where's the beer? Where's the pizza? Let's go, baby. Like that became the goal of every week was to just get to Friday. And then I realized, real fast, Dusty, you don't schedule classes on Friday when you're in college. And that means, oh, I just got to get to Thursday. Right. And you would bust your ass on those Tuesday, Thursday, hour and a half classes or pick up some Monday, Wednesday classes, anything to avoid the Friday class. And if you had to take a class on Friday, you wanted to be done by noon because you wanted to start drinking as soon as you possibly can. So would I have taken college with a different approach back in the day? Yeah, I probably would have. But did I have fun? Yeah, I had a time of my life.
And that, kids, is how you get into sports radio.
That's exactly right.
The pitch. Witt smacks it deep to left field. McKinstry turns around, looks up, it's gone. Bobby Witt Jr. hits a laser to left. It's a solo homer that extends the Royals' lead.
I don't know when it's going to stop. I don't care. But that, again, is Bobby Witt Jr. in the eighth inning. Now, three nights in a row, I tweeted last night, Bobby Witt Jr. treats the eighth inning the way Patrick Mahomes treats the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It just seems like he just isn't going to stop. He's not going to get cool anytime soon. I heard a stat last night watching the game. He struck out for the first time in 24 plate appearances.
And you said that to us this morning, and I go, it seems a lot longer than that. Like, I'm not trying to poo-poo that stat, but like 24 plate appearances, I'm like, I thought it would have been longer. I thought it would have been like 124 plate appearances. Like, that's how good he's playing right now, you know?
And the thing that's crazy to me about Bobby Witt Jr. is I have his pro baseball reference page up.
Uh-huh.
I want to take a screenshot of this on my phone, and then I want to look at that screenshot in about 6 years from now.
Okay.
Because when you look at Bobby Witt Jr.'s baseball reference page, it just says, number seven, one-time All-Star.
One time. That's it. There's no MVP talk. There's no World Series champion. There's no MVP three times
batting
in a row.
Title,
batting champion,
gold glove,
all
anything.
That kind of stuff. Yeah.
And it's... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, he's probably going to pick up all of that this year. Lead the league in batting average, probably going to win a gold glove at shortstop unless there's, you know, East Coast bias or whatever for Gunnar Henderson. Probably going to finish top two of the MVP this year because, you know, the world is still in love with Aaron Judge as much as Bobby Witt's now hitting around 350 and whatnot. So I look at it and I say that baseball reference page would be like looking at Patrick Mahomes' pro football page, you know, the day before the season started in his second year where he came on the scene, right, where it had nothing, no accolades, no superlatives or anything like that. It was just kind of a blank page. Bobby Witt's page is going to be filled, and they are going to have that page littered with superlatives beginning in October.
And the thing that's interesting is that when you look at people's opinions of who's the MVP, and again, right now it's probably Judge.
Mm-hmm.
But Bobby Witt Jr. is hitting 350, 93 runs, 78 RBI, 24 stolen base. He's got an OBP of 398, a slug of 604, and an OPS of 1,000. Aaron Judge has an OPS of 1,100, so it's not that big of a difference. Bobby Witt Jr. is 47 points behind in OBP.
Yeah.
And he's 80 points behind in slug. So it's not like Aaron Judge is absolutely crushing him.
But I don't think, like, again, these are just numbers that are,
right, but
you
this
know.
Is where they, this is where they have their discussions, though, is like with these sort of stats. And the other counteroffer is that Bobby Witt Jr. has 93 runs. Aaron Judge has 84. Bobby Witt Jr. is hitting 350. Aaron Judge is having 316. So this is why I'm bringing this up, Bob. If that's all a wash, where do we have the discussion next? Who's performing more for their team than the other? If Aaron Judge doesn't do it, Juan Soto can. If Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't do it, they're going to try to say, well, Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez hit behind him. They're the only team in the league that has three guys with 70-plus RBI on their team. But here's the thing. Without Bobby Witt Jr., they don't have those RBIs because Bobby Witt Jr. is not on base. Bobby Witt Jr. and what he does for this team, how he does it and when he does it and when he's doing it right now. Like Aaron Judge, everyone expects him to do this stuff.
Right.
We've yet to be able to expect Bobby Witt Jr. Now, next year's expectations for Bobby Witt Jr. league-wide, probably going to be the number one baseball player in fantasy drafts. He's probably going to be one of the most sought-out players in all of the league to watch and focus on. But when he's doing this, why he's doing it now, passing the Minnesota Twins, going past the Boston Red Sox, if he keeps playing like this against the big teams like Boston, like Philly, like New York, who they'll play again, there will be some more attention towards Bobby Witt Jr. Because I hate to be that way. A lot of people say the batting average is dead and gone. I'm sorry, but in 2024, when everybody strikes out, hits three-run home runs, and that's it, and you're hitting 350, and you're striking out once every 24 plate appearances, those are alarming numbers, and you're doing it for the Kansas City Royals, who are now a playoff team who lost 50 or won only 56 games last year. That really magnifies his look at MVP as he continues to keep doing what he's doing.
Well, I think we're going to talk to her blue in the face about, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. getting the MVP award, what he has to do. And somebody on the text line does ask, what does Bobby have to do to win the MVP? Hit 400 and
win the division?
I think, maybe. I think if you do hit 400, you're going to win the MVP.
But it's
not going to happen. He's 50 points shy of that. There's not a lot of time left. And hitting 400 is ridiculous. But I think what Bobby Witt has to do is quite honestly has to put on a show when they play the Yankees in New York, right? You have to outplay Aaron Judge in that series against the Yankees, okay? But this is very reminiscent, I think, for a lot of people, and I'm just on the cusp of this, so I don't remember this taking place, but you talk to people over the years and you hear the conversations back in 1985 when Don Mattingly beat out George Brett for the MVP, right? Yeah. And there are still people that are bent about that, you know, here in Kansas City, that Don Mattingly got the MVP instead of George Brett. And that's where I feel like we are right now with that. Like, you use history to tell the story of what's going on right now and what could happen in the future. Just because Don Mattingly beat George Brett in 1985 does not mean Aaron Judge should beat Bobby Witt, but it should give you a little inkling on the way that people vote on this thing, right? Mm. Don Mattingly is my all-time favorite baseball player, but everybody knows George Brett is much better than Don Mattingly, and George Brett is that Hall of Famer, and George Brett is the MVP, one of the top five players of all time. But the bias voting sometimes takes place because people have their minds made up, right? Think about what it is in your life that you have your mind made up on, and somebody then tries to get you to change your opinion and feeling on that, right? It takes a lot to convince people the other side of things. It takes a lot to convince people that they should be looking at something in a different way, especially now in 2024. And so I think what Bobby Witt Jr. is going to have to do is go above and beyond, go absolutely wow the voters, if you will. That starts with him dominating Aaron Judge when they play each other in New York in a couple of weeks and really setting that stage on fire. And then the other thing that Bobby Witt has to do to get the MVP, come back next year and have a season like he's having this year. Mm. And then from the beginning of the year, the talk will be about Bobby Witt Jr. winning the MVP. And I think that's when a lot of these awards and a lot of these superlatives are given out, is in the offseason and in the preseason leading up to the season, when all of the hype there is there and the hype machine is there and you start from ahead, right? It's like a horse race, and it's like Secretariat, or like, you know, Katie Ledecky in the swim race yesterday, impressive, winning by 17 seconds, right? Like, she just got out to a huge lead and never relinquished that lead, and it's hard to catch up. And I think that's where this season started. The Yankees got off to an amazing start. Aaron Judge was on fire hot. The Royals were winning baseball games, but nobody was really paying attention at that point in time. Aaron Judge got out to this Katie Ledecky Secretariat type of lead in the MVP race, and Bobby Witt is trying to close it right now, but so many people have made their minds up. Now, is there still room to close it? You bet there's still room to close this thing up, right? If Aaron Judge goes cold and doesn't get another hit for the rest of the season, it's a good chance Bobby Witt Jr. wins the MVP. But I think he has a better shot at doing it next year when that voter is, like, conditioned to understand that Bobby Witt Jr. is the guy to watch. Sometimes you have to arrive on the scene before you truly arrive on the scene. And we'll see if it's anything like the NFL. They gave Mahomes the MVP in his first year as a starting quarterback. Voters can be swayed and voters can be changed in this kind of stuff. I'm hoping it works for them, because what Bobby Witt Jr. is doing right now really is remarkable. He's must-see TV every single night, and he's one of those guys, as we've talked about, we stop down our day to watch what Bobby Witt Jr. is doing when he gets up there at the plate, because you only get four or five opportunities a night to watch this guy, right? And then it's over. And it's not like football where you get 17 plays on offense, three plays on defense. 17 plays on offense, three plays on defense. You're really limited to what you get with Bobby Witt Jr. So I think the MVP voting is going to be tough for him to close that gap, unless something drastic happens over the next 56 games. And the dude is hitting 350, and I still think that's the most important stat in baseball because it shows consistency and it shows what you've done over the course of the season as opposed to just, I don't know, 40 at-bats where you hit a home run. What'd you do with the rest of those at-bats? And a lot of times those guys that mash don't do much else. Judge is a different story, right? But Bobby Witt's hitting 350. 350. Think about that. How hard that is to do to hit over 300, but to hit 350? Good Lord, man. Like, you got to start writing Bobby Witt Jr. down on your MVP votes, baseball writers.
He told me what that Loch Ness Monster won. He won about 350.
350.
He won about 350. From the 316, who's this guy bringing stats to the Fesco in the morning? Ha ha, ha ha. Dusty Likens, I'm glad to meet you.
That's what I wanted to know, too. It's a good question on the text because he started talking in acronyms and I lost my, I don't know what was
going on. Bob said 350 like 15 times in the first 11 minutes of the show. There's two people bringing stats. Baseball coverage on 610 Sports Radio is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Bob said something about Bobby Witt Jr. on the other side to explain why he's way ahead of the competition when it comes to this very important thing to have when you are a young athlete. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, 610 Sports Radio.
Man, you know, I thought people would be in a good mood on a Friday.
Oh, come on now.
There's always that one guy.
There's always somebody, Dustman. Always somebody.
Somebody's got to call me out, my teammate out, and be a Richard on a Friday. So if I see you, sir, out and about, I will buy you a drink to make you in a better mood. He says this from the 940.
Where is the 940? I'm pretty good with area codes, but I don't know the 940.
He says, or they say, listen to Denny Matthews. It's one RBI, and when you have more than one, you have two RBIs. Stop saying it wrong. You sound like a new guy that doesn't quite know the lingo yet. Like Cody from the Midday Show. One, you're an ass. Two, it's RBI. Three, you don't say he had 14 runs batted ins.
You don't say run batted ins, yes.
End of discussion. You don't say runs batted ins.
The only time you pluralize ins is when you have those like home run ins pizza and you had like six of those. How many home run in pizza? No, you don't pluralize. You don't even pluralize ins. No, it's never pluralized.
Welcome to Friday, 940. Kiss my ass. Sorry for cussing.
Yeah, it's fine. I've been doing that for 14 years, Dusty. You're
it's
good to
more
go.
So a thing from a thing.
You may not get hired at ESPN for it, but that doesn't matter.
I don't want to go to ESPN.
No, they told me one time I said ass too much and they couldn't hire me. I said, fine. I don't care.
Listen to Denny Matthews. You listen to me, kid.
Yeah.
And Gunn.
Denny's great, but, you know, Denny's not the end-all be-all on everything, right?
I'm Denny Matthews, and I am the sports encyclopedia, Ryan. Back to you. The parking spot. Brought to you by the eighth inning where Bobby Witt Jr. seems to just absolutely take over the game, kind of like the parking spot in your car. Find them at the parking spot. Slider low and away to a Bunyan's.
It's good, Denny. It's not bad. It's not bad, yes.
Thank you.
A little bit deeper, I would think, a little bit more guttural, if you will, than what you had going on there, but not bad. Not a bad first effort, if you will, for Denny Matthews. We were kind of talking about this in the break about the MVP and got Dusty all fired up about this thing, but like, I'm going to throw three names out, okay? And Dusty already knows the answer to this. Mac doesn't because he's on the other side of that glass in there, so I'm going to ask Mac this question. What do Kobe Bryant, George Brett, and Andy Reid all have in common? How about that threesome right there? George Brett, Kobe Bryant, Andy Reid.
I don't know. They don't have the same birthday.
They don't have the same birthday. Nope, not at all. George Brett, Kobe Bryant, Andy Reid. I'm going to take the long way to this one, okay? I could make the case if I had to that George Brett is one of the top five baseball players in the history of this game.
Yes.
I could make the case if I had to that Kobe Bryant is one of the top five NBA players of all time. I could make the case that Andy Reid is a top two or three NFL head coach of all time, right? And what do those three folks have in common? Brett's got one MVP. Kobe's got one MVP. Andy Reid has one coach of the year. What I'm getting at is we like to see Bobby Witt win the MVP for our sake. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. It's a nice award to have. It's something we would all love him to get. But what you want to get and what you want to have is that team success. And if Bobby Witt continues to play like this and doesn't win the MVP, but the Royals are in the playoffs every year and making runs for championships, you're going to take that every single day of the week. Like, Andy Reid could get coach of the year every single year in the NFL, right? They always give it to somebody who went 9-8 coming off a 6-11 type of season, right? That guy always wins coach of the year, okay? And then the MVP award with George Brett, only winning the one in 1980. Got beat out in 1985. I didn't realize Kobe only had one NBA MVP. Like,
that's crazy.
Who in the 20 years that Kobe played in the NBA, right? Like, was
Steve Nash stole two? That's why.
Steve Nash. Steve Nash.
He stole two MVP. He went back to back.
Steve Nash. Who would you say is the better NBA player? Steve Nash or Kobe Bryant, right? I mean, Steve Nash is, I'm not going to discount what Steve Nash did, but Kobe Bryant, head and shoulders above Steve Nash, probably has more championships, played for a better organization, overall one of the greatest players of all time. So a lot of this stuff becomes a quote-unquote popularity contest, and I hate using that as well, but like, we get so upset over the MVP, and we want him to win the MVP because I think we need it as a city to kind of be validated a little bit, you know, as to where our baseball team has been and where it is right now. But I don't care if Bobby Witt wins the MVP. It would be a nice addition to the Royals making the postseason and making a nice run in the postseason. Finish up.
I was going to say, you know what's crazy about Kobe Bryant? He didn't win his first MVP until he was 29 years old.
That's amazing. That's almost 30. Like for most people, when you hit almost 29, you're done. You're done. No, like I'm saying, like 30 is like the line of demarcation. I'm not somebody who likes athletes over the age of 30. So if you hit 29, in my eyes, for the most part, barring you know a Kobe Bryant here, a Travis Kelce there, Patrick Mahomes here, Tom Brady there, you're over the hill in sports. They don't pay people when they hit 30. And Kobe Bryant's winning his first MVP. You know what age he was when he started in the NBA? 18.
Yeah.
Okay. So that man took 11 years of dominating this league before he won an MVP. That's how wild and crazy the MVP is. It's just about getting better. And that's what Bobby Witt has done over his career. A guy on Twitter, Tom at Hawkeye Bears fan, sends me a tweet yesterday. And I think this is great. He says, Bobby Witt's hitting .350. 2 years ago when he made his debut, he hit .254. Unreal.
Wow.
Bobby Witt Jr. is the prime example of why we should not write off players after 1 month. You know, I've wanted Alex Gordon cut. I would have traded Travis Kelce back in the day. Like, I still would trade anybody but Patrick Mahomes, but that's just me. But I would trade anybody but Bobby Witt on the Royals right now, but that's just me, right? I'm a transactional type of guy. So I look at that and I go, that's why you have to give guys time. Like, we in sports today, you better hit the ground running and bat .350 your first 5 minutes in the game. You better throw 10 touchdown passes in your first two games, and you better have 1,000 yards receiving in your first year. Otherwise, you're considered a bust. Guys can get better. Guys can improve. And Bobby Witt is the prime example of that. So if you're sitting back on, I don't know about this guy who's a young player right now, Bobby Witt was hitting 100 points lower 2 years ago, and now in a conversation for the MVP. It's nice to see guys grow and mature at the big league level.
Kind of like one of my favorite follows on Instagram, Bob Does Sports. Bob Does Stats. Bob, from the 816. Do you think Bobby has a potential to, from this point forward, never drop below 300 like Ichiro?
Yeah, I think so.
Speaking of Ichiro, it is August.
It is August.
August in Kansas City. It's harder than two rats in a fucking sock.
I don't think we got that, Mac.
Welcome to Friday. I literally said to him,
did you bleep the F-bomb? Oh, I got it.
Well,
it's
guys,
good to go.
It was fun hanging out with you.
It was really quiet.
I think the internet got that.
If you can see Mac's face, it's definitely a red Friday.
Yeah. You know,
Mac is in mid-season form for the Chiefs.
Back in the day when I was working in St. Louis and TJ Oshie was a rookie, he used to show up and hang out with us on the show. We used to call him Furnace Face because his face was always really red. That's Mac this morning. I'm going to start calling you Furnace Face after that one. That was really good.
I'm rough because I didn't hit the dump button. I hit the cough button.
I got the dump button. Sticky, but I got it.
Speaking of yesterday, that's one of those OP moments.
Yeah. Hey, Mac, did you bleep out the F-bomb? Yeah, I got it, man. We're good to go. Oh, nice job, Mac. Way to go, buddy.
Breaking news.
Hey, did you turn the stove off before you? Oh, yeah, the stove's off. All good to go. House on fire.
Yeah.
Breaking news, Fesco in the Morning will be hosted by Jay Binkley on Monday because Will be suspended.
That's exactly right.
Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, you love her or you hate her. Either way, you get her. Camp Cliches on the other side.
Fry-yay.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You like that woman in your office? Happy Friday, everybody! I brought donuts for the crew!
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks, Lisa.
I love Lisa. I like energy on Friday.
Absolutely, man.
If you come into Friday with a morbid attitude, I'm like, dude,
well, that 940 guy came in with a morbid attitude this morning. I'm getting reports from some listeners. They didn't hear the F-bomb that Ichiro dropped. So, Mac, you may be off the hook there, but I think we're still suspended on Monday. So.
From 913, morning, fellas. First time texting since Dusty has joined. So welcome to the morning show. We're not there yet. But just curious, since Josh has extra time, when are we going to get to have Josh Klingler get off my bumper track?
Well, that's coming real fast, I would imagine.
Josh Klingler, get off my lawn.
Josh Klingler, stop speeding through my neighborhood. That's me, actually. Yeah. You guys come over later. I'll be the guy in the lawn chair with a hairdryer acting like it's a radar gun. Radar gun.
There you go.
I just don't like people speeding through the neighborhood. There's children.
You should just, like, create your own speed bump. Or put that little turtle in front of your yard that says, go slow.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Drive like your children are here. No, I mean, you speed through a neighborhood. It's ridiculous.
Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. This is also the show where you can find the British lady.
Right.
I believe that she is ready to go.
Well, hello! I am back from hiatus to return to Cliches from Camp, the most important nonsensical time of the year. I love nothing more than a bowl of porridge, a spot of tea, and a great cliche!
St. Joe's is hot. Our practices are long.
A lot of recovery after practice, a lot of rehydration.
We have a purpose, and we're out there to prove that last year wasn't a fluke.
The training staff does a great job. Strength staff does a great job. Nutrition staff, everybody does a great job with us. And, you know, getting us back to where we need to be for practice the next day.
Still growing, still learning, and I feel like that's one thing that wakes me up every day.
You got to come and work on areas where you're strong, work on areas where you're weak, and just try to get better as a player.
For us right now, it's just taking it day by day and getting better every day.
This is the standard. This is how we practice. This is how we do things.
You're in a vulnerable position right there with some big men that are chasing you.
What?
Trying to get you.
He has the right mindset to be great, so it's going to be good to see.
You know, if I do my job at a high level, everything else is going to take care of itself, man, and that's all I got to do, man, just keep working and doing my job at a high level.
Each and every day, somebody is coming in here and making sure that the standard is set.
We know Coach Reed says it every day. He's like, you just got to show up and push through.
He's getting better every day, and you can tell he's bought in and working hard to get better every day, too.
We've gone through all the bumps and bruises.
I'm focused on us right now. I'm focused on this team getting better.
So. Each and every day, we're just helping each other.
This is a historic time to be a Kansas City Chief, and I feel great to be a part of it.
Ultimately, just getting prepared for this next season and ready for the hardest training camp in the NFL.
The Royal family would be so proud of all of these glorious, wonderful cliches from camp. Until next time, it is me, the British woman.
Some good ones there today, baby. Some good ones there today. Hardest training camp in the NFL. We hear that every year about the Chiefs. That's always my favorite.
I love the, it's St. Joe and it's hot.
Yeah.
Trey. Bingo, free space. St. Joe and it's hot.
And it's hot, baby. It is hot.
Is this supposed to just like stay hot?
Yeah. I was looking at the weather forecast today for the first time in a while. I've been kind of like off the weather. I don't know why, because it's like, you know, blazing hot out there right now. 97 still next week. I thought we were supposed to get a little bit of a break, but no, apparently not. It's going to be very, very hot for the next 10 days or so. So best of luck up in St. Joe, and to all of you who are out there, make sure you stay hydrated, bring an umbrella for shade, and watch those Chiefies win.
We'll get back into how special Bobby Witt Jr. is and counting down the hours until tonight's just absolute rubber match between Cole Riggins and Scooble. That's going to be, go ahead and go to DraftKings or FanDuel and bet the under on tonight's game.
Probably not going to be a lot of runs unless there are. This will be one where it's a 10-9 final.
Yeah. Or this game will start at 5:40. It'll be over at 8 o'clock.
Well, it may be over before 8 o'clock. Like last night, that Hall of Fame game came on, or you know, whatever that clown show is that the NFL peddles on the 1st of August every year and claim it's football. And by the time that game started at like 7 o'clock, I think the Royals were in the 5th or 6th inning already. I mean, that's how fast these games are moving now. It's glorious when you're watching at home to have these games move so fast at a 5:40 start. I mean, that thing's over before 8 o'clock. It was outstanding last night. It was over before that. I sent you guys the game over text at the Vinny Pasquantino 3-run home run.
Like,
who
was.
I mean, who didn't think that was going to be it right there for, you know, a team? And that's the important part, right, of this series. Get up early on the Tigers, right? Because they're going to quit. And any team that you're playing right now that's no longer involved in the postseason race, and I don't consider the Tigers really involved. I know they have an outside chance of doing something, but they did trade Jack Flaherty, right? You don't trade one of your top two starters if you think you're still in something. So they're on the outside looking in and probably not going to make it into the postseason. Those are the teams you got to beat up on early. And so the Royals take a 3-0 lead last night. I just took the liberties to start the game over text before football season. Like, this one's over. Vinny just went yard. It's 3-0 in the first inning. The Tigers show no sign of life. Kick them in the nuts. Let's go.
Good argument to have with those three guys in the middle of the lineup. Bobby hitting 350, Pasquantino hitting 264, and starting to lift the baseball, which is what I've been begging for.
You've been saying for the last week or so, and now all of a sudden he's hitting it out of the ballpark. He's hitting almost 270 right now. I mean, like, Vinny's on a tear himself. People aren't talking about that. Vinny's on a tear.
And Sal just 2 points shy of hitting 280. So there are three guys that have 70-plus RBI and three guys all almost hitting 270 to 280 in the middle of your lineup. Pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. But one thing that's been impressive so far as we go to Camp Cliches, and we can also bring the text line and the listener into this, 913-586-7610. We're starting to see more of what I didn't think we were going to see, which is the Xavier Worthy like starting to like break the defense deep, and Mahomes seems to be hitting him in stride. I know it's camp. But a lot of people are saying that this is going to be Patrick Mahomes' Tyreek Hill connection 2.0. Do we need to calm our asses down?
Yeah.
Or do we just lean into this 913-586-7610 all about it, or let's pump the brakes?
Why can't he just be Xavier Worthy 1.0? Why does it have to be, you know, a Tyreek Hill 2.0? I know they wanted to get the deep ball back, but just because you're bringing the deep ball back doesn't mean you have to compare everybody to Tyreek Hill, right? Like, Tyreek Hill was his own thing, man, and I don't think it's a fair comparison, quite honestly, for Xavier Worthy, because Tyreek Hill is the greatest wide receiver in franchise history, right? Like, for now, but I mean, like, for 60 years, sure. I mean, we had nothing, right? And then here's Tyreek Hill, and he's one of the greats in the NFL at this point in time. And I look, I'm not a fan of Tyreek Hill, the person, but I am a fan of Tyreek Hill, the football player. And that guy invented himself and turned himself into a great wide receiver. Like, he took advantage of an opportunity that was given to him and worked his ass off and became the best wide receiver in franchise history. There's nothing to take away from him from that standpoint. To compare Xavier Worthy to him at this point, it's not fair to Xavier Worthy. Just like, you know, we talked about last segment, Bobby Witt was hitting 254 when he came on the scene 2 years ago. And everybody's like, oh, the next George Brett, the next this. Like, when we do that to athletes, that just puts undue pressure on them that's not needed. I'm just excited to see what Xavier Worthy can do and who he can be as a player, as opposed to saying, can he be the next Tyreek Hill? The odds are no. Like, whatever tight end comes after Travis Kelce, you can't say that that guy's the next Travis Kelce, or whatever quarterback even comes after Mahomes. You can't say he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes. I hate when people do that, because it's hard enough to have success in professional sports, let alone have everybody saying, you've got to be Tyreek Hill, or you got to be Patrick Mahomes, or you got to be Travis Kelce. Chances are we're not getting another one of any of those in Kansas City in our lifetimes.
I think the way that I look at the comparisons are not necessarily like he's going to be Tyreek Hill. I think some of the same things are there. Like, one of his, if you want to call it a downfall for Xavier Worthy, which was maybe Tyreek Hill, but Tyreek Hill was pretty jacked when he was a rookie. Like, we've always known that he's been
Tyreek Hill was tough.
Yeah, and
he was a running back. Yeah, it had to be.
Yeah, and Xavier Worthy is, you know, they've said, well, if you have to give him some sort of, like, you know, downfall, it's he's not big enough yet. He's a little weak off the line. Okay, cool.
Right. He's also a rookie that just played college football, you know, 6 months ago.
Right. But they
played
both
every
have,
game, never got hurt.
Right. And they both have blaring speed. We know that. 4.2 in the combine, fastest ever. His cleats and his jersey from the combine are in the Hall of Fame, first ever that's ever happened, which is kind of cool. And then the other thing, too, is that Tyreek Hill, once he was able to perfect route running, which he did effectively after his first year, and then he got into that all pro status, right, and now we know who he is. Maybe that's the same thing that you can get with Xavier Worthy, because once he really perfects route running in the NFL and he has the capability to go over the top, then he has a double-edged sword. It's like, well, which one do you want to stop? And I remember yesterday people were saying, well, you remember the two deep zone, right? They took that away. Okay, that's fine. Well, then that's where he has Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce underneath. And then once you cheat, pop over the top, there it is.
Well, I think for Xavier Worthy, he's going to be a completely different player at the end of the year than he is right now, right? Like, we're looking at this kid right now as a rookie. And I would imagine the first couple of games of the season are probably not going to put up the fantasy numbers that you're expecting him to put up, right? Mm-hmm. But by the end of the season, he's going to be a guy that's flirting with 1,000 yards, and he's going to work himself into being an NFL wide receiver. All of this training camp stuff is nice. Exhibition football games are fine. He's not going to understand what it's like to play in the NFL until September 5th when he goes out there against the Baltimore Ravens. And that's when you start to get your sea legs under you. And that's when you can start, you know, having the conversation of what do we expect? What do we want to see? Can he play at this level for any player, not just for Xavier Worthy? But I just think right now, like putting a ceiling or a floor or saying he's this or saying he's that, it's just unfair to the player. I just want to see him go out there and give Patrick Mahomes the ability to throw deep when they want to throw deep, to bring that piece of the game back that they were so lacking last year and so missed last year and so wanted it badly last year. Like, they were wanting it so bad to have that deep ball, and then they finally realized it ain't going to be here. Let's go underneath and kick everybody's ass that way. But so now they've got that toy back. Now they've got that weapon back. I don't need to see Xavier Worthy 10 to 12 receptions a game, but every once in a while, I do need to see him take that top off the defense and keep those cats honest at the back end so everybody can kind of do their thing underneath. And you weave all that in together, and that's the makings of a team, right? That's what you want to do. So for me, for Xavier Worthy, go deep a couple of times, keep him honest, and keep this offense rolling and moving forward.
Football is back, and that means we get to make it rain with our predictions for the Chiefs. And maybe you can chime in as well. 913-586-7610. Blame Ohio or blame the NFL? That's what Mac has a question of next here on Fesco in the Morning. Back here on Fesco in the Morning on a Friday. Hopefully you're excited for the weekend.
Is this a boxing movie or an America movie? I'm talking number 4, obviously.
I'm the wrong guy to talk about that. I
never seen Rocky?
No, I've seen him. I just don't like
Not a fan?
No.
Can I ask why?
It's his voice.
Okay.
Drago. I've seen every Rocky, all the way up to the Tommy Morrison one.
Oh, you have? All right. See, I stopped after Rocky IV. That was it for me. We beat the Russians, and it was over, brother.
That's same. That's all I've seen.
Yeah. That movie against the Russians, like, I don't know that there's a movie that was made that encapsulated the times in which we were living better than Rocky IV. It was unbelievably awesome.
If he dies, he dies.
Yeah. Sharon Stone was in that movie, you know. Mm. Played Drago's wife.
Mm. Could have sworn it was Brigitte Nielsen. Didn't Flavor Flav date Brigitte Nielsen?
I have no idea. He's at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. So is Snoop. He's our mascot. Yeah,
Snoop's over there.
Mm-hmm. Snoop's like never coming back.
No, he's not.
That dude's man. Like, yeah. That guy's a freaking icon in Paris right now.
Hey, I didn't think Jason Kelce was going to come back until I saw him at halftime of the football game with the beret last night. Man. Yeah, that's how you blend in. When you go to Paris, you wear a beret so they know you're not a tourist. And when you go to New York, you can ask Spector because he didn't like it when we did the Super Bowl because he doesn't know how to have fun. I wore an I Love New York hat every day so I wouldn't look like a tourist. You got to blend in with all of that kind of stuff. So Jason Kelce doing it the right way. You wear that beret, brother.
Mac, did you watch the entire football game last night?
Well, until they took it away from me.
Oh, yeah. No. That was saving America from themselves by bouncing out of that game in the third quarter last night.
I might have been the only one who
just
was
just a monsoon of a cancellation.
That thing rains every year.
Every time.
Every time they play that game, there's something wrong that happens out there.
Yeah.
And I was there, I think it was like 01 or 02. Whenever Hank Stram went into the Hall of Fame and the Chiefs were playing in that game, they never came back out after halftime. The rain was so bad, they just pulled everybody off the field. They're like, we're done here. And it was back in those days. You were like in a high school locker room. I mean, it was a miserable setup that they had there. But I was reading something this morning about that. Like, they've got like old school AstroTurf on that field from like the 1980s and things like that. Number one, why? It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Get some new turf on that field. And apparently that turf is unable to handle water. Every year during this Hall of Fame game, that thing rains, and it seems like they cancel. It's probably happened three times, but it feels like it's happened every single year. There's been paint issues and things of that nature. Like, why? I guess I'm asking, why doesn't the NFL do this? Because they're cheap. But, I mean, like, you've got this Hall of Fame. You've got this stadium. You're playing this alleged game. You want people to watch it. And then it, you know, dies halfway through because the field is incapable of holding water. The NFL needs to find a way to fix that field and then in turn fix every other field in the NFL at this point in time, right? Like, we need to get kind of even across the board. You can't have athletes going out there on a turf field from the 1980s. That's stupid.
It's also like, does it rain more during the Hall of Fame game or Halloween?
I think during the Hall of Fame game.
Seems like it always rains.
Halloween is always rainy too, though. Yeah.
It's what it always makes me think of. Is like every time it's Halloween, it's like tonight it's going to be a high of 52 degrees and rain all evening. It's like, damn it, I'm wearing face paint.
Yeah, they still? That cold, like damp rain, you know, where it's like 40 degrees and it's just rainy and it's nasty.
Terrible.
And you just don't want to be out in it. But by God, you got to get your Snickers.
Mm. Full size. Go to the houses that sell the or give out the full size candy bars.
Well, that's where you are over there with your Diamondback bike. And
just never going to let that go, are you? Never going to let that go.
So y'all watched a bit of it, though?
I did. I caught a little bit of it. Yeah. You know, what hooked me on the Hall of Fame game, and this is going to sound ridiculous, the kickoffs. Like, the kickoff actually hooked me on the Hall of Fame game for a little bit. And then they started scoring, and they kept having kickoffs, so I kept watching the kickoffs and whatnot and trying to figure out how it's going to be.
I'm still confused.
It looks weird.
it's weird. It's new. It's different. So that means we don't like it, right? Because that's the way we operate. We don't give anything a chance. I think from my standpoint, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this whole thing ends up playing out and what becomes of it. And I know Joe Buck said this last night, or Troy Aikman. I don't know, Joe. I think this is like my God. He talked for like 17 minutes straight last night. I'm like, would somebody knock him and let him know that he's still going?
Troy?
Yeah.
Gotta be careful with his head, though.
Yeah, that is true.
Can't really knock Troy.
No, can't do that.
He's like one skull tap away from, you know.
Yeah, falling apart right there, right? And so that was either him or Buck were talking about. You know, it's like it's basically a running play is essentially what the kickoff has turned into.
It was a Troy.
Like,
and
I'm like, he's kind of right about that. I see what he's saying here, but I think there's a lot of strategy, and because it's new and different right now, I'm really into it, and I kind of like the kickoff right now. And my first go round with the kickoff, my first taste of the kickoff, I like it. What did you think, Mac?
Well, it's weird. When you first see it, you're like, okay, why isn't anyone moving?
Yeah,
no one's moving.
Yeah,
you
what's
move.
Going on? I was like, what is this play?
Yeah, it's very, because you're not allowed to move till the returner catches it and then starts running. And then everyone can move and it's boom, they're 5 yards apart from each other. I was like, you guys are way too close.
They make it look like the everyman could return a kickoff now in the NFL, right? Like, I'm watching that. I'm like, I could potentially do that.
Put Chris Jones back there.
Yeah.
It's that. That is one, my one kind of qualm with it is, we're bringing back returns. You know, Devin Hester, of course, goes in the Hall of Fame last night and deserves it. And if it weren't for special teams and returning, he's not in Canton. I mean, and I just don't know if it has the same gravitas because,
word was that?
I think any Joe could, any just whatever, could just return now because it is easier.
Is it easier or is it harder to get a return right now? I know they want to do it to have action in the game, right? And they don't want to wait because I think like 75% of the kickoffs were touchbacks last year, right?
Yeah.
So are they doing it to make it easier? Or are they doing it just to have another play of action? Because the way that I looked at it last night, I'm like, I don't necessarily know that it's easier to get touchdowns and to return kicks better than it was. It's completely different. And there's not a lot of momentum that gets going, right? Like when you used to catch the ball at the goal line, you had momentum going. Those guys coming downfield had momentum going. It feels like you're starting cold and you're just, all right, go. And then you got to go. And then by the time you get going, boom, the play is over. I don't know if we're going to see a lot more scores out of this unless these special teams coordinators start to get a little wacky and crazy and come up with some fun stuff to do. Yesterday was very by the books, just catch it and run forward type of thing. So I'm interested to see, like, are we going to have wild and crazy type returns and everyone's going to be different and these special teams coordinators are actually going to have something to do for the first time in 20 years? Like, I'm hoping it goes of that route, but from what I saw last night, I don't know that it's going to be any easier, but there's more action in the game than there was before.
I thought we were playing NFL Blitz with all the like graphics and like the coloring. I was like, I don't know if it was like too many Miller Lights. So I was like crossing my eyes. I was like, is this what it's going to look like? Like, what happened to the days you just held your finger up and heard the Rolling Stones Start Me Up and then kicked it off.
Like, everybody ran.
All right, here we go.
But, I mean, we'll see what happens after this year. Obviously, it's just a test run, you know, and if nobody likes it and people are like, get rid of this thing, let's move back to the other one, they will do it. But I do appreciate the NFL making a drastic change like this. Like, Major League Baseball made some drastic changes, and it's been great for the game. And before we saw the pitch clock and the bigger bases and, you know, throwing over only twice and all that kind of stuff, how many people were poo-pooing the baseball things? Oh, it's going to ruin the game. It's going to ruin the game. Baseball has never been better. It has never been better than it is right now with the way that the pace of play is going in this game. It is so much fun to watch baseball. There's a sense of urgency. It moves. It's great. We don't know what this kickoff rule is going to be like. And so if you watched last night, you're like, I don't think it's any good. You got to give it a shot. You got to give it a year. And then at the end of the year, we all say, this thing sucked. The NFL will probably say this thing sucked as well and maybe go back to something that we're all accustomed to and all used to. But I'm open for trying it, man. I'm open for trying anything in sports. I think we're at that point in time where it's about evolving and finding ways to do things differently to try to capture new fans, keep the old ones you got, make the game more interesting. This adds an intrigue element to me.
Two plays in the recent years now that the NFL has tried to change and make meaningful that were meaningless, the kickoff and the PAT. And PAT, we've seen improvement, a lot more misses. It's actually something that you have to watch. You're not going to make it every time. And I hope the kickoff becomes that. You know, an interesting point from Rich Bisaccia, one point interim head coach with the Raiders now.
Good Italian dish, the Rich Bisaccia.
Very good. Special teams coordinator at Green Bay. He said something interesting the other week is, he thinks they're going to make changes before the season starts. They're going to watch preseason and they're going to make some adjustments to the rules a little bit. I don't know what he thinks, but it is curious to watch that.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it for people that think the preseason is irrelevant.
That's right.
Obviously it takes time to adjust to the new rules, but I mean, that's the first takeaway I had last night was, all right, so you got to get it in the green zone.
Right.
You got to wait till he catches it. And then, like, the text line says that I thought, I was like, well, once you get past that line, that might just be an automatic touchdown.
It is. Like,
did you consider Brett from Miller?
Did Will Chamberlain or Danny Manning, have they reached out to Wiggins?
You think I'm a damn fool?
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, from the 417, they're doing the kickoffs to reduce concussions. They're doing it to bring more action to the game. They'll tell you it's about the concussions and all that stuff. It's not. If you want to reduce concussions out of the game of football, you take the helmets away and you don't have kickoffs. Pretty simple.
Or you play with those foam helmets.
Yeah, the foam helmets on, right? But, you know, rugby players, you never hear about concussions in rugby. Those guys don't lead with their helmets. People have a helmet on. They're leading with their helmet. You want to get rid of concussions in football, get rid of helmets. Pretty simple. And then we move on. But they're not doing it to reduce concussions. The NFL does not care about player safety. That's very evident. They care about how to have more action in the game, increase scoring in the game, make the game more exciting. That's what they're doing. That's why they're doing this. And I think the text line is right. Like, you get by that first wave there, mm-hmm. you're gone. You think the kicker's going to tackle you? Unless it's like McAfee out there, you know, one of those Justin type of guys, Reed. Or Justin Reed kicking off, or, you know, whatever. Then you may have somebody get tackled. But, I mean, you've seen a kicker try to tackle. I mean, it's worse than a high school kid trying to ask a girl out on a date.
Mm. 610 Sports Radio, KCSB, Kansas City.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.